take your Bibles, everybody, and look at Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 12, please. Ephesians 6 and in verse 12. The title of my teaching is Standing Fast in the Faith. Standing Fast in the Faith. To start off this teaching, I would like the fellas back there to play a song or a little part of a song, and it's a song that most of us have heard and many of us are familiar with. So if you could just give a listen for a little bit here. Okay, here we go.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear.
Okay, that's enough of that. That's it. Okay, let's take a break. That's the end. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. And that was a song from the 60s to wake people up. And there, people questioned a lot of things and wondered a lot of things. And that song made people think and wake up and look around. In Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse 12, Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness on high places." Something is happening here. And for a lot of people in the world, it ain't exactly clear. But for those of us who are concerned with spiritual things and God's word and the accuracy of it, according to God's word, the world is a spiritual place. It's a spiritual fight, a spiritual contest, and it's one that requires spiritual action. We are to stand fast in the faith. The importance, this teaching is going to be about the importance of our believing in light of the spiritual conflict. Take a look at Luke chapter 8, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. It's a spiritual contest, a spiritual fight, a spiritual battle. According to God's word, Luke chapter 8 and in verse 12, there is the true God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there is Satan, the devil, the adversary. And that's what's going on. Look at Luke chapter 8 and in verse 12, Luke 8 and in verse 12. This is the parable of the sower. We'll start at Luke, verse 11. Now the parable is this: thy seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes who? Yeah. And takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be what? So very clearly in this verse, the devil doesn't want people to hear the word, and the devil doesn't want people to believe. Some people like conspiracy theories. Oh, well, who did this and who did that? According to God's word, there are two gods. And Satan and the adversary, one thing he is about is getting people so people don't hear the word of God and people do not believe it. It's a spiritual battle. And we see sometimes that people in the world are blind to spiritual things. And for some of us have been around for a while in Christianity and all that, we see that people who know God's word in some ways, they've been talked out of their believing. How does this happen? You know, life is full of problems and issues. some financial, medical, personal, marital, mental, physical, doctrinal, practical. Sometimes these issues can take us away from God's word. Instead of believing what God's word says, we sometimes choose senses solutions which run at cross purposes with his word. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews 12. We live in a world, and the god of this world or the god of this age is Satan. And what this all is about, you know, he does not want people to know God's word. He doesn't want people to believe it. And in this our day and time, we need to be steadfast in our believing. In Hebrews chapter 12, please, Hebrews 12. We need to have our eyes open so that we can see. Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 1, it says here, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of what? Believing. He's the author and finisher of believing. He started it. He went down the path and he finished it. He finished his whole life and he believed God. Did he know pain? He knew a lot of pain. He knew a lot of mental anguish. He knew a lot of pressure from responsibility. Did he have a job to do? Just redeeming the whole world. A little task. Toward the end of his life when he was tortured, I don't think he was sleeping well, do you? His friends deserted him. People mocked him. He was falsely accused. Yet he believed God through all of this, giving his life, laying it down on the cross. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, just to give you a little background here to this section of scripture by way of scripture buildup, Paul had been in Thessaloniki, depending on where we come from there, I guess. But he had been there, and something really great had happened. God's word had moved out, and people all over the northern part of Greece had heard God's word from there. There was great teaching. There was great power. Paul was a tremendous example of God's word there. It was fantastic. But the Jewish people there who were against Christianity, what they did was they got people who hung out in the marketplace, evil people, to stir up the town against the believers. And there was so much commotion there, they tried to find Paul and capture him. They went to the house of Jason, who lived very close to Kennedy Boulevard, and they tried to find him there. And he wasn't at the house of Jason, and they got him out of there, and they captured Jason, and they, you know, took him down, and finally they got, you know, they let him out on bail. Paul and Silas, they left town. It was a giant mess. But it started off really great, and the word was really growing, but there was resistance there, and people stirred up the town, and a lot of people, you know, went against them. So we're going to start here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 1. So Paul got out of there, he went to Berea, and then he wound up at Athens. So we're going to actually start in 2:17. So Paul says, but we, brethren, being taken from you, the people in Thessalonica, from you for a short time, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. He wanted to go back. He wanted to see him. He wanted to see how they were doing because he had got them in the word, a lot of them, and he wanted to take care of them. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. In the Greek, it means to cut a trench, to put a roadblock. Because of the stuff around, Paul couldn't go back. In chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. So Paul wanted to find out what was going on. So how could he find out? How could he help these people that had been through this not terrible situation? In fact, the book of Thessalonians talks about the hope. It was the first epistle written to the church, and it was about the hope. God gave them the revelation of the hope so they could stand. In verse 2 it says, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel. Paul sends him back in there into the heat of the persecution to establish you and to comfort you concerning your believing. He sent Timotheus, our brother. Now, doing a little math, a little calculation, Timothy was somewhere around 21 years old when Paul sent him back. That was a man's job. Timothy got sent back into this thing, and he was a younger dude. I don't know exactly if it was 21, but he was around that age somewhere. And sent Timothy, our brother, and minister of God. Our what? Fellow laborer. There's a guy that did something with his fellow laborer training there. He went right into the heat of the persecution. He stood. Paul had been with him. He had been with Paul, and he was a fellow laborer, and he went right in there in the gospel of Christ, in the gospel of Christ to establish you. The word establish means, you know, to make strong, solid, and to comfort you concerning your believing. They needed comfort. They needed, you know, some encouragement to believe. They needed encouragements to believe. Maybe some of us along in our life, we were doing not so well, and somebody came along and encouraged us. Just think, if we were a young believer back then in Thessaloniki, what happened was, gee, everything was great, man. I had a great time. I was going to fellowship and all these things. Now, all of a sudden, people don't like me. People are, you know, against me and all these things. I've lost some friends. Gee, where's God? Where's God? Where's Paul? I heard him teach at the house of Jason, and now I heard he's in Athens. Why isn't he here? You know, sometimes an immature reaction is to doubt, is to wonder, what's going on? If this is so great, I just got in the Word last month, and man, it was great, and now I don't know. So Paul sends Timothy back there. Verse 3, that no man should be what? On my way to heaven, I shall not be what? By these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we're appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, when I was there, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, as you know it came to pass, and you know. Verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I couldn't take it, I sent to know your believing. Paul wanted to know if they were believing, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor had been in vain. Paul wanted to know. He wanted to know how they were doing. He wanted to know if they had caught up on the Game of Thrones or on 24. He wanted to know if their kids were still in gymnastics. No. You know what he wanted to know? He wanted to know if they were still believing. And how was he going to know? How was he going to know? Well, a camel stepped on his cell phone, so he couldn't FaceTime with the email back then was slow, and Facebook hadn't been invented. How was he going to know? He sent Timothy back to know. He wanted to know how they were doing. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your believing, lest by some means the tempter tempted you and our labor be in vain. The tempter had tempted them. What was the tempter tempting them? Not to believe in this stressful situation. That's why Paul sent Timothy there. He wanted to know their believing. But verse 6, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your believing and charity, that you have good remembrance of us always, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Timothy came back with the report, and Timothy told them they were still believing in the situation, and there was love there. Sometimes under pressure, people get hard and they forget to love. Those people under pressure, instead of giving in to the temptation and not believing, they stood. They stood on God's word. Look at Acts chapter 13, please. Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. Steadfast in the faith, steadfast in believing. Acts chapter 13, we see a great record of spiritual influence on the highest political levels. Acts chapter 13, and in verse 4, Acts 13, 4. It says, so they, this is Paul and his company there, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed into Seleucia and from thence sailed to Cyprus. Cyprus today is a country by Greece there, you know, in the general area. Okay, now, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God and the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to their minister. And when they had gone and found through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, and his name was Harry Potter. Verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So there, the leader of this whole area, which is now a country, he wanted to hear God's word. And some dude named Harry Potter was very, very close to him in his inner circle, it looks like. Verse 8. But let's see how Harry Potter, acted there. Verse 8. And Elymais, Harry Potter, the sorcerer by name, by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the right way of believing or from believing. This sorcerer did not want this leader of all of Cyprus to hear God's word accurately. You talk about a spiritual battle. You talk about, what's going on spiritually. We just read in Thessalonians, the tempter tempted them, and it was in the context concerning their believing, to get them to not believe. Here's a guy working for the adversary, and he wants them not to be able to believe in the right way. Verse 9. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and mischief. What would you do in this situation? This is a confrontation. O full of subtlety and mischief, thou child of who? Now, there's an interesting one right there. Thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord. This looks like a spiritual confrontation. This looks like the great apostle Paul talking to a child of the devil. And the child of the devil doesn't want this guy who's the leader of what's now a country to hear God's word. How would we respond in a situation like that? How would we respond? That's deep. Oh, I can't stand the pressure. Take me to Margaritaville and that would be really good. Or gee, if I could kick this guy in the groin, that would solve all the problems. Senses reaction to a spiritual situation. How did Paul deal with this? Verse 10, and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him in the midst and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the what? There's a dude, he was playing on the wrong team. He went blind. Then the deputy, the guy who was in charge there, Sergius Paulus, when he saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Paul didn't chicken out. Paul didn't lose his believing. Paul didn't do something stupid. Paul walked with God, and this guy who was a child of Satan, a child of the adversary, went blind. And this guy who was now the leader of what is now a country, this guy believed God's word because he saw God's power in action. Paul didn't lose his believing. Paul locked in and he believed God. Look at 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8. Spiritual problems require spiritual solutions. Something is happening here, and what it is from God's word is very clear. There's a spiritual contest, a spiritual battle, and we need to open our eyes and to deal with spiritual issues with spiritual actions. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, watchful, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Why do lions roar? To make people afraid, to scare people. You know, fear is an enemy of believing, isn't it? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, and he's seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, and here it says, whom resist, resist. Take some karate classes and be courageous. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Whom resist, resist in a spiritual way. Resist by believing. Sometimes in the face of pressure, what happens is we don't believe, or we get scared or something else. Here in this situation, how do we win in this contest? Is we're steadfast in believing in the right way. We're to believe God in the situation, and that is tremendous. Look at Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew 6. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Do you think if we're in a tight situation, we should have our heads in the word? Right? Okay. You know, 2 Timothy 2:15. Most of us have heard that verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:16. Okay, let's go there. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. These are two of the most foundational verses that we use about studying God's word. But in the context of God's word, they're in God's word in a section addressed to a leader in the church. Why were they in this section addressed to a leader in the church? The context of this was Timothy had a very, very important job in life. He was taking over for the great apostle Paul, who happened to be in jail in Rome. And a lot of people at that time had turned their back on Paul, and things were going and had gone downhill. So God's exhortation to this great man, Timothy, was study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Did Timothy need to believe God? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's exhortation to Timothy was get his head in the word of God. Look at Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Does God deliver?
Yes.
He delivers. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or the world or materialism. You can't serve God and the world at the same time. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's the context of this great section of scripture that a lot of us are familiar with. Look at verse 30, please. Verse 30, it says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little, what?
Faith
or little believing. Sometimes in life we want something so bad. It's a need, it's a desire, it's this and that, and I gotta have it, or it's such a need, and we just get so focused on getting that need, we forget God. But we're gonna get that need because in my life right now, that's the world's greatest need. Is that kind of familiar? Possibly. I've been there. Verse 32 says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So we have need of all these things in this context, food, clothes, whatever. We need a lot of stuff. And sometimes we get caught up in seeking that need instead of seeking God and his word. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. A census way to approach life is not to trust God, but is to seek the blessings. The spiritual way of approaching life is to seek the blessor, because that is our greatest need. And approaching life like that This is what it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. God delivers. God is big. He's our greatest need. And as we do that, then, you know, he takes care of us. He helps us in these other areas. God supplies. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So in life, we're to believe God, not lose our believing. We're to believe, and he delivers. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, please. First Corinthians 16, verse 13. It says, watch ye, watch ye. What does watch mean?
Watch.
Is this watching? No. Watch means open our eyes. Something is happening here. What it is exactly clear if we want to look at it. And sometimes out of convenience, people don't want to look at it. It's time to open our eyes and to grow up. To wake up. Verse 13, watch ye. Open our eyes. Watch ye. Be vigilant. Look around. Watch ye. Stand fast in believing, or in the right way of believing. Stand fast. Believe the right way. Be strong. Stand in believing God. Stand fast in believing. Act or conduct yourselves like men and be strong. We're to look around and to be sharp spiritually. Life is spiritual, and there's spiritual situations that require spiritual actions, and that is to believe God's word. Maybe someday you'll talk to a devil spirit. Maybe you have already, probably have. And some spirit talks to you. Do we recognize that? And how do we deal with that? Are we afraid, or do we look at that and do we do exactly what God says? And we have the power, if it's God's will, to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. You don't get that, you know, by being strong and having muscles and going to the gym. We have the power to cast out devil spirits. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's much bigger than, you know, having a cup of tea and, you know, doing whatever. This is a spiritual thing. Man, and how big do we see ourselves? How big do we want to be spiritually in our walk? You know? And when you see that stuff in your life and that happens, man, it's like you just, mouth is open like, wow, God did this, and the power of God in operation, it is just phenomenal. When you lay hands on somebody and somebody gets healed instantaneously, why not? Isn't that believing God in a spiritual situation? Sure is. Isn't that what the word says? Isn't that what we can do? Isn't that what we should want to do? It says here, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, conduct you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Verse 15, I beseech you, Stephanas, ye know that the house of Stephanas, that it's the first fruits of Achaia. And they've done what?
Addicted
themselves to the ministry of the saints. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Maybe some of us have known a person, you know, who's had an addiction, possibly a drug addiction. When somebody has an addiction, That whole focus of their life, their desire, their focus, their goals, their decisions, their friends, everything is arranged in their life to get this one thing that they are addicted to. Ladies and gentlemen, let's ask ourselves the question, what are we addicted to? Here in this situation, they said, here they were addicted to the ministry of the saints. Their passion, what they were about, everything they breathed, whatever, what they were trying to do in their life was help God's people. Stand fast in the right way of believing, or stand fast believing God's word in the right way. That is a very, very cool thing. Something's happening here, and what it is very clear. Take a look around. It's a spiritual life. And how can we help in the situation? We can help if we believe God's word and we decide we want to go far with God and we want to walk and manifest the Christ in us with every fiber in our being so we can bring deliverance to God's people. Why not? Because that's what God wants us to do. It's a spiritual conflict in Bible times just as it is today. There's spiritual problems, and spiritual problems require spiritual solutions. We are to be vigilant. We are to stand fast in believing the right way. We're to resist the adversary and stand fast in our believing. We can encourage other people concerning their believing. We're to addict ourselves to the ministry of the saints. Why not speak God's word? If Satan wants to steal God's word and prevent people from believing, why not reach out to somebody and give them God's word so we can really help them? One of the reasons that a lot of us are here tonight is somebody along the way reached out to us and said, man, I love you. It's God's word. We got to do this. This is the truth of God's word. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The world needs God and his word. The world needs deliverance. Let's hold on to God's word. Believe God's word and share it, bringing deliverance to God's people. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1 and in verse 24. Second Corinthians 1, and in verse 24, it says, not for that we have dominion over your believing, but are helpers of your joy. For by believing you what?
Stand.
By believing we what?
Stand.
By believing we what?
Stand.
Something is happening here, and what it is very clear. We are in a spiritual conflict, and by believing, we stand. Father, thank you for your word. Thanks for the privilege we have to know you and to be able to walk your word, to live your word, to stand upon your word, to breathe your word, and to speak your word. Thanks, Father, for a wonderful night and for the privilege we have to know you and to be able to live for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you very much.